Mike, this thing I talked to you about yesterday, they do not, they welched on it.
Oh.
So I thought I ought to tell you because you had more information than anybody else. I don't want another human to know it, so I wouldn't say anything about it. But the facts were these. When we went over the GBN with them, they said, yeah, that's fine. And when we went over the other two things, the cities and the DMZ, well, we stopped and paused and went real slow so they would get the full impact where there'd be no misunderstanding. And they listened to that and nodded and raised no objection. We went all the way through it and they said, well, this is all fine. But he said, you say here that you'll meet the next day with us with the government of Vietnam. And said, we have to have the NLF and we don't know how long it'll take to get them. And we said, well, it's all right. We'd be glad to go get them. And they said, no, we think you better stop bombing and then we'll go look for them. And we said, no, you said in your talks that if we would stop bombing, that you'd be willing to start discussion the next day. This is your language, and so we would take this language. Well, I said, we don't know whether Hanoi approved this. We have to go back to Hanoi. So that's a lot of wrangle on that, and our interpretation is that we had a couple of unfortunate speeches, and that they're trying to see if we're going to get any weaker here. Bundy went out and made a fool speech about withdrawing troops and getting them down to 100,000 or pulling out and costing too much. Just today, and then while they was, just before they went into the meeting, Hubert came out and said that he was going to stop it, period. No comma, no semicolon, just plain outright stop it. So, of course, that was big flashes to both of them. And we don't know. They said anyway that they've got to go back to Hanoi and talk to them. And our people interpret that as a indication that something's come up, that they've got some new touch, because the three things that we have had that we kind of understood, it really doesn't represent much change on our part and doesn't represent much change on their part, except what they said with the GVN. Now, they're not arguing about that. They're not saying they don't want to. So we will just have to take the position that that we do have these discussions back and forth, but Vance didn't come over here for any new instructions. We didn't give him any at all. Yeah. I just told him, for God's sakes, to try to get some kind of peace in my time, that I had given up everything to try to do it, and I wanted it honorable, but I wanted it. And I told April the same thing. And I told Chu that, and Chu did play ball with us, and Huang played ball with us. And son of a bitch out there, Senate Foreign Minister, whatever his name is, he leaked the story when they told him. He said that he expected them to sign right away, and of course he looks like an ass today. But I just thought, in the light of all the background, that you ought to know the ball's in their court, that we are ready and anxious and willing and eager to sit down with them tomorrow with the NLF. And they said, well, we have to go and look up the committee. It's somewhere in South Vietnam. And we said, well, you've got a lot of representatives here. You've got spokesmen and you got press. And why don't you bring one of them in? And we'll do the same thing. We'll bring in some South Vietnam. It's just purely symbolic of both of them. And Vance tried to get them to do that, but they said no. So our interpretation is that we had two unfortunate speeches, and we'll have to write them out a few days and see what happens. And I can't believe they pay that much attention to speeches, but something changed their mind, and the Russian folks, the diplomats, think that they got some key here. If Nixon had said something, I thought he'd had some effect, but he kept quiet. He did send Smathers down to want to know if we were going to stop the bombing, and I didn't tell him anything. I just said, our position is the same it's always been. We are anxious to stop it. We want to stop it. And if they will meet with the GVN and not bomb the room we're in, not blow us up, well, we'll sure do it. But that's been our position all along. I've said it publicly at San Antonio 100 times, and that's all it is. When and if it gets beyond that, before we stop the bombing, I'm going to talk to every candidate. You can tell Nixon that, you can tell everybody else. And I am before I stop it. That doesn't mean, though, before I sign up.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you more than I'm telling any human except Rusk and Clifford, and I just want you to help me and advise me. And how would you interpret their pulling out?
Just about the way you did, but I wouldn't give up hope. I would keep pushing them.
We are. I told Rusk this morning to tell them that they said, well, that one day they couldn't get them there. And we said, well, we'll take 1 week.
Sure.
Or if you want to, we'll take 1 month. You just go on and get them. Lock them and put them in a goddamn trailer and get an ox cart to bring them if you want to. But the moment you deliver them, whenever you're ready, we're ready.
Yeah.
And they said, well, if they're liable to interpret this one day, we said we'd meet the next day as a condition, a new condition, the United States. That's what the North Vietnamese said. Is the United States imposing a new condition when it says it'll meet the next day? And our people said, no, that's your language. In your last talk, you said that if you stop the bombing, serious talks can begin the next day.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. Well, they said, that's interesting, but we'll have to go to Hanoi. We don't have the authority. Now, this fellow's gone back to Hanoi after Bundy made his speech. He just hit out for Hanoi right quick. And I don't know whether George is a good man, but he's not the brightest fellow all time, Mike. And I think he advised Humphrey to make another statement. And another thing that's real bad was they were working on Humphrey's speech over in Paris. And that's just inexcusable, don't you think?
I do indeed.
Well, I just thought you ought to know it, because it may blow on her someday, and I couldn't help it. Didn't know it till after his old will. Cy Vance came back, and I asked him what the hell they were doing messing with this speech, and he said, well, he had his superior and able-been Democratic governor, and he felt very strong. And I said, well, this is not anything out of your first instruction, was to have no politics in this. He said, well, they talked to him. I said, who'd you talk to? He said he couldn't remember, and I just looked at him and laughed. I said, Cy, you Wall Street lawyer, you tell me a man come from the United States to talk to you about a matter of this point, you can't remember. And he laughed, said, yeah, George Ball's partner.
Mm-hmm. George Ball's partner?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was messy, and then Averill had been meeting with George Ball the week before. And Averill's a little bit old, and I really wish I had Clifford in those negotiations, because God, he's smart and able and tough on negotiators.
He can't do it in his position.
No, he couldn't at all. He'd be the warmonger, you know, and everything. I wouldn't even let him go by there when he went to Germany this time. Could have Goldberg, but Goldberg just talks all the time, and he wants to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He says, you've got to be for him, and Dirksen's got to be for him, and everybody up there is going to be for him if I just got guts enough to name him.
Well, I
haven't had it yet. It's still.
Well, I mean, the way you did. Oh, one thing more I want to say before you do go off, and that is
I'm not going off. I'm going to be here.
No, I mean going off the phone.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to tell you yesterday that while I'm sorry for Barefoot, I think you handled that situation absolutely correctly.
Well, couldn't give up the presidency to Tom Thurmond.
That's right.
Now, we're going to confirm him. I'm going to name him recess or confirm him in January or do something, or just give Nixon hell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let him treat Barefoot that way. See, Barefoot's a lawyer.
Yeah.
He's not a fella here. But, you know, when Larry O'Brien left and Henry Wilson left to make 100-some-odd thousand,
yeah,
I reached over and took this man who was number 2 man in the Department of Justice. This is about the ablest man I had, and I weakened the Department of Justice a good deal. We wouldn't have had the relationship with McClellan's and so forth. Barefoot had been there, as you can see.
Right.
But I brought him over here. But look what he did in the House, and the House just had to have that help. You could see from Speaker and them that they just rely on Barefoot. They just love him, and they rely on him and depend on him. And they just had to have him. Now, it's cost him his kitchen. I told him that he could go on the circuit court down in that district. That's what he wants. And there's a vacancy. But Yarbrough preferred somebody else. So I didn't want to have a fight with Yarbrough.
Yeah.
And I just said, well, we'll put him here. Then the damn fools ran that he was a liberal. Now, Eastland likes him, and all of McClellan likes him. They don't think he's liberal. They think he's just as liberal as you are. He's a moderate man and a good man, and they're all fond of him. And Eastland wanted to prove him. But this damn Washington Post wrote he was a great liberal, it'd be the balance of power.
Yeah.
So that got old Strom stirred up.
Sure.
If they just hadn't written it, why, Strom would have been fine. So that's where we are. Now, if I have a special session the day after the election, I'm going to send his name up there and let him debate it till Christmas. And if it don't, I'm going to send it January the 3rd and let him debate it till the 20th. And I just hope he don't plan anything else till we can see if Strom can't do this job. And I just don't believe it. The Republicans see Towers for Barefoot.
Uh-huh.
The Republicans for him, and Dirksen's for Barefoot. But Strom, and I don't think it, McClellan will be against him, and I think all of them polled unanimously agreed to vote for him, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, well, you please don't discuss this with anybody. When the newspaper men ask you about it, I think what I'd say is that you believe the man won't stop the bombing more than anybody else is Johnson, who's got two boys out there himself that's in it every day. But he has... taken his position, and he has offered his proposal, and as near as you can tell, there's not one thing that's been signed on over there. Now, that is a true, accurate statement, and all these rumors to the contrary notwithstanding. And then before anything comes, I will call you first.
Okay.
Bye.
Fine, thank you.
Bye.